Take your Bibles out, if you would, please, and I want you to turn to Mark chapter number 3. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. In all reality, this is a sermon that I had planned on preaching last Sunday morning, and I have the privilege of sharing it with you today. Mark chapter 3, look at verse number 13. Once you find that verse, stand with me, if you will, please. Mark chapter 3. Verse number 13, I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. And the Bible says, "He goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach, and have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter, and Jesus, and James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James, and he surnamed them Boanerges, which is the sons of thunder." Those last few words, the sons of thunder, I'll explain those to you in a few minutes. The sermon that I'm going to preach today, it comes from a little bit from this passage. Let me read another verse to you. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:3, "A stone is heavy, and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both." Here the Bible talks about one's wrath being heavier than sand, heavier than sand. I call the sermon today the sandbag sin, the sandbag sin. Let me pray for us. Father, bless us today. Lord, you know the intent was to share this sermon with the people last week, but for some reason it was delayed to this week. You know what you're doing. God, help us to be better Christians because of what we learned today, the challenge that is given to us today from the Scripture. Holy Spirit of God, work in children's church, work in the primary church, the junior church, the nurseries, everything that goes on in this place this day. I pray that you'd be glorified, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. I'm going to admit something to you. When I was a boy, I had a bit of a fear of the thunder and the lightning and a storm. And I can remember times when I was very young that I would, if it were storming outside and I was in bed, I'd hide under the covers. Now, I could not wait for that thunder and that lightning, for all of it to pass. About 200 yards from my home, there was a train track. And I don't know where I got this, but somehow I got it in my head that if the 11 o'clock train, an 11 p.m. train, came through our area on time almost every night, and if the 11 o'clock train was on track, then we were going to be okay. I'd hear that train come through, and I could not get sleep, but when I'd hear the train come through, somehow I had it in my brain that train could survive the storm, and we were going to be fine. I remember that time and time again. If there were a storm, it would scare me. I lived in a part of the country where there were tornadoes often, and we had a very severe tornado come through our area on more than one occasion. I remember one time when it destroyed a city. I remember it destroyed a public high school, and there was a picture in our local newspaper of a cow that was stuck up in a tree where the storm had actually picked that cow up and deposited it in that tree, and we all had hamburger that week. But boy, I remember that. I've flown, and I've been around storms of all sorts. My wife and I went through a terrible, terrible storm flying to Panama City, and in Panama City, and I won't go into the entire story, but we finally landed our airplane after having been tossed all over the place, flying into the city of David in Panama, and it was dark out, and everybody was cheering on the ground because our plane had been tossed and turned all over the place. We got on the ground, everybody at the airport, they were clapping, and they were all so happy, and of course, we were happy to be off the plane and on the ground, and they came on the overhead speaker and said, "Congratulations, that is the first successful night landing ever at this airport." And I think, brother, I've been through some storms in life, but I don't enjoy them. When Hurricane Matthew came our way, when the night came, I stayed awake and I sat in my chair all the way through the night, and all night long, basically, I prayed for our people, and I prayed that everybody would be safe. storms, they can be ferocious, and we see what Matthew did up and down the coast. In Mark chapter 3, it mentions there, in verse number 17, let me read it to you again. It mentions right at the end of the chapter, the sons of thunder. The sons of thunder. And this is James, the son of Zebedee, and John, the brother of James. James and John, they have a nickname. And these two fellas are called the sons of thunder. I got very interested in that, and I began to look into it a little bit. And I think they have that nickname because James and John, before they got saved, were pretty rowdy guys. I think they were brawlers. I think they were fighters. They were loud. They were out of control. And they were fighters. At one point in Luke chapter 9, they show that when there was a time when there was some resolution necessary in a situation, and James and John said, let's just cut them up. You know, that was their answer. We'll just kill them. You know, we'll take care of this. Don't worry about things, Jesus. We can whack their head off. That was kind of their solution to things. But these men were men, they're called the sons of thunder, and it has to do with their anger. When their wrath would get out of control, it was very damaging. And so they carried into their saved years a reputation in the community to the point that in the scripture, James and John, these brothers, were called the sons of thunder. They were men that had it. They had a temper, they had wrath, they had rage, and it had affected their reputation, if you will. Now, let me tell you this. Anger is not all bad. Anger is an emotion that God put in us, but it's to be used right. It's to be used God's way and to glorify God. For instance, the Bible tells us that Jesus was angry one day in the temple. They were making merchandise of the people, and Jesus overturned some tables. But you have to understand, that was not Jesus emotionally out of control. That was Jesus on purpose doing exactly what needed to be done. And he exercised the tool of anger to help a situation. You and I, most of the time when we're angry, it is not our scriptural self-control that is being exercised as a tool. It's someone swinging a bat around and we've lost it. But the Bible talks to us. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. Jesus' anger was under control. I read to you a scripture earlier. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 3, a stone is heavy and the sand weighty, but a fool's wrath, and there's that word wrath, that goes along with anger and rage, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both. When you suffer, when you struggle with anger issues, when you struggle with wrath, when you struggle with temper problems, I'm going to tell you something. That emotional misbehavior, it is going to weigh your life down. It's going to become very heavy for you. Notice God talks about this thing of the fool's wrath, or that wrath or that rage. It's heavier than a stone. It's heavier than sand. You say, well, what's it talking about? Well, first of all, Brother Tyler, I want you to come up and help me for a second. I want you to stand right there. Tyler, I have a bag of sand. And the Bible teaches us that our wrath, our rage, or our temper can be heavier than sand. So I have a bag of sand I'm going to give you, and I'd just like for you to hang on to this for me during the sermon. Thank you. And you don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. I just want you to hold on to that thing. I don't know. Where's Brother Mike Armstrong? Mike, you know how much is in one of these bags? Okay, about 50 pounds. And Tyler weighs about 50 pounds. But God said your wrath, your rage, your temper, and folks, I want everyone here to know, first of all, I love you and I'm your friend. I'm not about to be exercise rage towards you while I'm trying to teach you rage. I want to help you with it. I think anybody that has any sense, any emotional sense, would tell you if you have a quick temper, if you have rage, if you have anger, if you have wrath, it weighs your life down. It can weigh down your relationship with your friends. It can weigh down your relationship with mom. It can weigh down your relationship with dad. It can be hard on you. With your husband, with your wife, with your friends. Hey, parents, if you misuse your temper, if you misuse your rage, you will weigh down your relationship with your own children. When that thing gets out of sorts, a bad temper, it's like carrying this extra burden around with you. And you know, until the moment that you go off, you probably don't even realize what you're carrying. But boy, the people around you know how heavy this thing is, and how crushing it can be to someone's spirit, how crushing it can be to the people around you. I've had to work hard through the years on my temper, and I've worked at it, and I by no stretch of the imagination do I think I've got it totally under control, but I've had to work at it. And maybe there's somebody here, you say, I tend to get angry, and when I get angry, I do things, I say things, I behave in ways that I shouldn't, and it can become crushing. Let's see if I've got this thing on. All right, Tyler, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Okay, all right. Now, you're looking good. Looks like you're doing fine. Is that heavy?
Just a little.
Okay, all right. I just want you to hang on to it for me for just a little while. Do you know that while he is carrying this heavy load, you'll listen to me and we'll make some mental connection and we'll laugh a little bit. But I want you to know this thing is going to become consuming for him. It's heavy. He knows it. He's going to do everything he can not to sweat. He's going to do everything that he can not to drop that thing. He's going to do all that he can to be as normal as possible while he's carrying this heavy load. And God said that our temper out of control is worse than the weight of the sand. It's worse than the weight of a stone. Why? It's crushing. It's damaging. Are your arms doing okay? All right. You shift around or do whatever you need to, but I want you to hang on to that thing for me. Now, I call the sermon, the sandbag sin. First of all, let me tell you this. People with uncontrolled tempers or wrath, they don't really like being held accountable for their actions. Let me read to you. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 29, it says, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly." It says they're hasty. What's it talking about? Boy, you've got a quick trigger when it comes to your temper. You get angry just like that. You go off just like that. Hey, and people around you, the people that know us best, know whether or not we've got that problem. But it's talking about being hasty with your temper, being hasty with your anger. Folly here is in reference to people that just do what they want or do what they feel. Now, folks, let me warn you, if you and I go through life doing what we feel, we're going to end up in a mess. Because our emotions and our feelings are going to lie to us. They will get us into trouble. You doing okay? All right, good. All right. So people that have rage or wrath or anger and they can't control it, they don't usually like being held accountable for their misbehavior. For instance, if you've got anger or temper, when something breaks around you, it's got to be somebody else's fault, and you're quick to say, "Who did that?" Well, you know, you're the one that was doing it, but it had to be somebody else. It can't be your fault, and you watch yourself. You just think about it. Something goes wrong, and it's somebody else's fault. You get pulled over for speeding, and whose fault is it? Was it that guy behind you that was tailgating you? Was it that state police officer? Was it his fault? Whose fault? Well, it can't be your fault. Because what happens is your rage or your anger, it just weighs down your emotional logic. It will mess you up. And we don't want to be responsible. It's not our fault. It's got to be, look, if you're a lady and you lose your temper a lot, it's got to be your kid's fault. You lose your temper because of your husband. You lose your temper because of your wife. You lose your temper, young person, because of that teacher. You lose your temper because of your mom, because of your dad. You don't want to take the responsibility that your temper is your temper. This thing's heavy, I'll promise you. And I checked with Tyler. I checked. I said, Tyler, you feeling well today? You feel healthy? If you have any reason why you wouldn't want to help me with an illustration? He said, and you know, Tyler, I'd be glad to, preacher. I'd be glad to. Can you feel the strain?
A little bit.
And it's not only going to wear out your arms. You're going to feel it in your back and in your arms. It is going to, it can pretty well consume your whole body.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And that's what some of us live with when we deal with this thing of our temper or our rage. It's very heavy. It's a heavy thing on your emotions. It can be crushing. And so many times we don't want to be held responsible for our actions. Then people with uncontrolled temper or with wrath, they'll do mean things and they'll act ridiculously. Let me read a verse to you. Proverbs 27:4 says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. We'll say, if you got a quick temper, you'll say outrageous things to people. You'll be belittling in what you say. You've got a verbal attack mechanism. You'll threaten. You'll be one that threatens. I'll divorce you because you got a temper problem. That's your problem. Why would you want to be throwing words like that around? I'll kill you. Let me tell you something. Those are words that should not be coming out of a Christian's mouth. Belittling statements, threats, and just threats, and outrageous threats. Have you all noticed? And the worse you lose your temper, the more outrageous some of your thinking and your actions can become. Are you continually saying things during your fits that hurt people deeply? Words, by the way, that can't be withdrawn. It's heavy. Getting your spirit under control and getting your rage and getting your temper under control is very important. Parents, and let me warn you, if you're not careful and you're like that with your kids may end up being like that because they'll learn that from you. It's a bit of a learned trait. You got to get this thing under control. So, and I know that's getting heavy, Tyler. If you want to move it around a little bit, you can. Yeah, you can move it around. I want you to feel comfortable with it. That's all right. We'll leave it up there for just a little while. So, understand this, what I call the sandbag sin. It doesn't matter where he puts it. Those 50 pounds, I promise you, in a little while he's going to say, could I move it to the other side of my shoulder? It's heavy. It's heavy. Doesn't matter how you cloak it, it's still heavy. And right now, his left arm is praising God, but his right shoulder is mad at his left arm for putting the bag on his right shoulder. Hey, and you're looking, I admitted when I started, I had to really work in life. I've had to, and I'm still a work in progress. I'm always working on me. Anything I preach to you about, I probably need it more than anybody in here. But I've had to work at this thing, and I've got to get this under control. Why? It'll weigh me down. It'll crush me. God said, my temper, or my rage, my misused anger is heavier than a stone. It's heavier than a bag of sin. It'll stress him out. Hey, I'll tell you, I don't want to hurt him. He's got to go to work tomorrow. But tomorrow morning, he will feel this. He'll feel the effects. He's going to feel the fallout of helping his pastor for 30 minutes with this sermon. And you know what happens when we lose our temper, when that rage gets out of hand? Hey, it may hurt and it may be heavy at the moment, but there's fallout. You feel it tomorrow and the day after, and there are words that you can't retract, and there's behaviors that you can't take back. We don't. First of all, it's got to be somebody's fault, but it's not me. We got a bit of a blind rage, if you will, and then it can crush us. It crushes our relationship, and if you're not careful, it'll crush your own self-worth. People with uncontrolled temper, they do mean things, and that's where it said wrath is cruel, and anger is outrageous. Be careful. If you've got temper issues, you probably tend then toward revenge.
People with temper issues, they'll seek revenge before they even realize how unscriptural it is to seek revenge. But not only that, thirdly, people who allow their wrath to be uncontrolled, that they let their anger or their temper get out of control, the Bible says they're behaving like fools. And look right this way, young people. Look up this way. That's good. They're behaving like fools. Listen to this verse. Proverbs 14:17 says, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly." Now, I'm not calling you a fool, but God said, "He that is soon angry," who is that? That's the one at the drop of a hat. They're angry. Boy, they blow up, and they're mad, and they're angry, and they're saying foolish things, and they're threatening, and they're virtually saying outrageous things, even outrageous enough that the one that throws that fit later on, they say, "What was I thinking? Why would I talk that way?" Well, you let your temper get the best of you. But now God is saying you're acting like a fool. Maybe even God is saying you are a fool. Maybe this is the behavior of a fool. Listen to the words. "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly." At least God is saying, if you're not a fool, you're acting like one. Now, you might not think it a big deal to be a fool, but being a fool is the exact opposite of being wise. Proverbs 17:21 tells us, "Fools bring sorrow to their parents." Did you know something? People that don't control their temper bring sorrow to their parents. Proverbs 23:9 says, "Fools despise wisdom." Proverbs 18:6 says, "Fools argue." Proverbs 24:7 says, "Fools don't follow counsel, and if they do seek counsel, they don't follow it." Proverbs 13:20 says, "Foolishness leads to destruction." Proverbs 14:6 tells us that fools are just that. They're foolish and contrary to God. Proverbs 26:10 says that God has a special judgment for fools. Proverbs 14:8 says fools end up lying sooner or later. Proverbs 10:23 says that fools, they actually laugh at their sin. Look, if you have rage, if you lose it just like that, if you've got an anger issue and it's repetitive, I got to tell you something. God's telling you, he's saying here, you're acting just like a fool would act. You're busy and you're mad, and I even believe this. I think fools actually end up limiting their ability to absorb the Word of God just because of the emotion of anger. Hey, people that are mad and angry a lot, I promise you, they come to church, they don't get half of what I say. You say, why? They got their feathers so ruffled about something that happened 2 days ago, they're still not over it. So be careful now. I call it the sandbag sin. That thing's heavy. It's inconvenient. His feet right now, I promise you, they're very well planted on this platform because he's got that extra 50 pounds on his shoulder. It's inconvenient. There's stress. Can you picture it? There's stress up and down his back. You know what some of you put your body through? You have any idea what you put your body through when you're throwing your fits? You say, "I have headaches all the time." Well, how many fits do you throw? Strain? It's hard on you. It is really quiet in here, isn't it, Brother Tyler?
Very quiet.
It is very quiet. That's because this is a real, it's very applicable to you and to me. A lot of stress going on here. Hey, not only that. People with this temper, with this rage, people that have a hard time controlling their temper, I would recommend to you that you not get involved when somebody like that's going to be punished or when they're going to be disciplined. I read this. Listen to what this verse says. Proverbs 19:19. "A man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again." God is saying in Proverbs 19:19 that this is going to be punished. God will not let someone's temper, their rage, their wrath go undisciplined. He will correct it. But if you bail them out every time they're being disciplined, God said, "I'm just going to have to discipline them again." They're better off learning the pain that goes along with their misbehavior so they can get it under control. In other words, look, parents, if your child goes to school and they get in trouble at school because they were losing their temper and they are angry at school, you go down to the school and you try to bail them out. I've got news for you. If they don't learn their lesson and they don't get their discipline, you're going to have to bail them out again. And I'll tell you, your child is better off learning to get their temper under control when they're 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years of age than when they're 19 and 20 years of age and they're assaulting a police officer or they beat their husband or they beat their wife. And just so you understand, in this day and age, I used to deal with men that abuse their wives. Today, I'll deal with women that will abuse their husbands. But you're better off getting it under control while they're younger than when they get into the older era of life because of the destruction And the things that rage or that temper or that anger can cause. God is saying to us here, he said, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment, for if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. You want to go to the other shoulder? You feeling okay about holding it there? All right. Look, if you help them and you minimize the correction, they're going to have to be corrected again. And you say, why? Because God loves disciplining them? No, God is trying to help them get themselves straightened out. That's why. Let me say this, number 5. People with uncontrolled wrath, the Bible teaches that you shouldn't make them your best friends. Listen to Proverbs chapter 22. I'm going to read to you verse 24 and 25. It says, let me double check and make sure I've got the right verse here. The Bible teaches to be careful becoming best friends with someone that's got a temper problem. Verse number 24, it says, the father of righteousness shall greatly rejoice, and he that begatteth a wise child shall have him have... Nah, that's not the right verse. I don't mind it when there it is. The Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thyself. So there's some things I want you to understand here. Young people, if you've got friends that are that they've got temper problems and they're always throwing fits and they're always angry, you should be kind toward them, but they should not be made as your best friends. If you've got friends and they're always throwing a fit about mom and they're always in fights at school and they're always causing chaos, the Bible says those aren't the kind of people you make as your best friends. Now, let me say to those of you that are young adults and one day you're going to seek out and find God's will for your life, I want to just give you a warning. Young lady, you marry a man that's full of rage, you'll regret that someday. And young man, you marry a woman that's full of rage, the Bible says you're better off living on a housetop than living with a woman that's like that. Why? Because it's so heavy. It's heavy for the one that has the rage. It's heavy for his mom. It's heavy for his dad. It's heavy for the husband. It's heavy for the wife. Are you a vengeful, hateful, harsh person? You got to get that under control because it's quite heavy. Matter of fact, Tyler, that's heavy, but the Bible says this sandbag sin of out of control temper, it's heavier than that. It's heavier than that. So be very, very careful. This thing of our temper, it's an emotion that's a heavy, heavy emotion. Not only that, let me go on. The wise person learns how to turn away wrath. And here's a little lesson for all of us. Your left shoulder feeling, it'll help it for a little while. But in a little while, your left shoulder's going to feel just like your right shoulder did. And then you don't have a third shoulder. And so, the Bible teaches that you and I... You know what I need to learn? All of us. We need to learn how to minimize wrath and anger. Maybe someone comes at us with that. How are we going to handle ourselves? Listen, Proverbs 29:8 says, scornful men bring a city to a snare, but wise men turn away wrath. What's God saying? God's saying, learn the best you can not to stoke it up. But you and I, when we find ourselves in a situation where someone's angry or there's temper or there's rage, let's not make it worse. Don't throw fuel on the fire. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turneth away wrath. someone says to you, I'm going to bust your head. And that's, you know, wife talking to her husband with a frying pan in her hand. The best thing that, you know, when that happens and she says that to him, the best thing for him to say is, try it. Now, you're stirring up wrath. And God said the wise person is not, if Tyler had a temper, I wouldn't want to stir that. When he was doing wrong, I wouldn't want to draw that out of him. God is saying a soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. Do you know that the average person knows exactly what to say to the people that are closest to them to make them angry? Brothers and sisters. Two brothers that are fussing and fighting all the time, and though I'm not in approval of it, it's semi-normal. It's going to happen. But you know, a brother knows exactly what to say or do to his brother to get his brother to lose it. You figure out what switch to flip. Hey, and I see so many adults out there saying, yeah, that's true. Husbands know exactly what switch to flip to make their wife mad. And wives, the husband. It's almost as if we've got a little artillery and a bullet ready to load in that gun. It's in the chamber. Bring it on. The Bible says in Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Folks, you know, as Christians, you and I, we're to go around and we're to do the best we can to be peacemakers. Moms and dads ought to try to make peace between the kids and in the church. When two people that are not getting along well, the ultimate goal is that we try to get peace and we try to get some unity in that relationship. I've done for years and years and years. I've counseled thousands and thousands of marriages. Basically, it's me in a black and white striped shirt with a whistle around my neck where I can blow as the official, and I'm trying to officiate the tension between a husband and wife, whether it's differences about money or differences about mom or dad or differences about the kid or whatever it is. I want to minimize the wrath, and it's my goal. You know what I'll do? Let me tell you a little bit of how I do marriage counseling. A couple will come and see me, and nine out of 10 times, and they could all tell you this. They come to my office. We have a word of prayer. I have the husband leave the room. I meet with the wife. We talk for a little while. I have the wife leave the room, and the husband comes in, and we talk for a little while. Then we bring them both back together. You say, what do you do when they're apart? I figure what's up with her. I figure out what's up with him. I figure out how to word it in such a way that they do not want to kill each other as we're trying to resolve this. And then we put it back together, and I try in a very peaceful way to say, folks, here's what we ought to work on. Now, it's very difficult, though, if you get them both in the same room and you can watch the hair on the back of their neck begin to flare up. I'm thinking, I got to calm this thing down. Being a peacemaker. That wrath, that's heavy. It's heavy. That's a new technique. That looks good. That's a good way to hold on to that thing. But wise people try to minimize wrath. They try to keep it down. Hey, let me say to everybody, even if you take a bus route, a Sunday school class, you need to keep a good spirit in there and keep the kids busy and keep them doing right things. If not, by letting your class become boring and drab and there not being a teacher in the room, you'll end up having tension in that room and you'll have tempers flare up. A wise person, they don't want that to happen. Proverbs 19:11 says, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger. One of that's telling you, you need to learn to delay your anger a little bit. So what do? If there's something and it really bothers you and you're really angry, it's sometimes not wise to talk about it at the moment. Hey, and I'll watch people do this. I'll watch husbands and wives, and husbands will say, I did not talk to her about it on that day, because it was going to make me so angry, I felt like I needed to put it off a day or two until we could sit down and with a nice, calm, cool head talk about it. There are a lot of it. That's just what you need to do. Doesn't mean the issues don't need to be discussed. It's how they're going to be discussed, and sometimes it's when they're going to be discussed. And when the bomb first hits and that moment of tension pops up, sometimes it's best to say, let's not talk about this right now. Let's give it a day. But if you're out of, if you're one of the out of control people, there's no negotiating that. It's now. It's going to be now, and I'm going to blow up, and I'm going to say things and throw things and be things that are humiliating for a Christian to be, say, and do. It's heavy. It's a heavy thing. The Bible teaches us in Proverbs 14:29 that controlling your temper could make you great. I'll read you from Proverbs chapter 24. I think it's verse 29 here. It says, "He that is slow to wrath is of great understanding." Notice it did not say that he didn't have any wrath. He didn't have any anger. He said he's slow. Then okay? I think you're going to have the emotion of wrath. You're going to have the emotion of anger. But it said he's slow to it. What's that mean? Something happens, it makes him mad, and he says, "I will not let my emotion control me. I will control my emotion. When it is time for me to deal with this, I will deal with this, but I'll deal with it in a right way, not an emotional, out-of-control way." And God said, "You, then, are one of great understanding." That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to handle it. Now, Tyler, I appreciate it. It's heavy. It's strenuous. And you all, I'm sure Tyler's a good guy. He's probably tried to listen to me and listen to what I'm saying. But his greatest interest has been holding that thing up. It's holding that thing up because it'll weigh on you. And you know, if we're not careful, this thing of our temper, it's so heavy. It comes into marriages. It comes into at work. Let me tell you all something. Probably at some point, if you're a lady and you say, "My husband, he's just out of control." Well, he's probably not out of control with you only. Because that day it's going to creep out. It's going to get somewhere else. It's going to affect him at work. It's going to affect him with the kids. And I only say that because you say it's only me that he's angry with. No, he's got anger issues elsewhere. And I think everybody that has some drive and some determination in them have a little of this in them. Everybody's got to work at it from one time or another. If not, you're probably a limp noodle in life. And I think you need to get a little of this. Anger is not bad. It's when anger is out of control. It's when anger is doing what anger wants to do. That's when it's bad. I'm going to say this and I'll be finished. What do you do if you have an uncontrolled temper? I wish I had an hour to talk to you about it. I don't. Let me tell you a couple things, though. If you have a temper problem, this may be the biggest deal. You need to admit that you have a temper problem. Stop telling yourself you're not so bad. Go ahead and tell yourself you are bad. If you've got a temper problem, you need to admit it. You know that they say the hardest thing with an alcoholic is to get the alcoholic to admit they're an alcoholic. Until you can get them to admit that, you are not going to really, really get them the solution. If you've got a temper problem, admit you have a temper problem. Secondly, accept your punishment like a man or like a woman. In other words, young people, listen to me. Listen to your pastor. I love you. If you've got a temper problem, when mom and dad want to correct you for your temper, let them. They're doing you a favor. Because God said if they don't get it corrected, you will have to be corrected again later. And if that doesn't get it, you'll have to be corrected later because God loves you and he wants to solve the problem. Hey, mom, look, if dad wants to correct, and listen, all of you, when you discipline your children, you do not do that in rage and anger and out of control. You're doing the wrong way. But let me say, every mom and every dad, if your spouse goes to help your child and there's going to be discipline given to the child, trying to get the child to get their temper under control, don't block it. Let them help the child get their temper under control. Or they're going to become this outrageous, hateful, spiteful, unpredictable, do my own thing kind of a person that doesn't, the consequences don't matter. So admit you have a problem, accept your punishment. And then be careful spending a bunch of time around people that's got the same problem. If you've got rage problems and your girlfriend has rage problems, I think I'd get a new girlfriend. I'd get a new boyfriend because you're in trouble. Then get this. Apologize. You say, "I was wrong.
it was sin, I am sorry. The average person that really has this issue, they'll say, I wouldn't have if it wouldn't have been for you. I wouldn't have lost it if it were not for you. I would not be mad right now if it were not for you. So I apologize for what you caused me to do. Folks, people's my business. That's the way they are. They will qualify their apology with blaming the victim somehow that they lost it. If you really want help, admit it's wrong. You got a problem. Accept your punishment when it comes your way. Avoid others that have the issue. Sincerely apologize without blaming anyone but you. If you're that big. If you're that big. Next, I would memorize Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1, where the Bible says, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. If I were you, I'd memorize a couple verses about your temper, because the Scripture will help you. If you need to, get help. Beg God to give you help. I was thinking about the storm. And when Matthew was coming our direction, I was reminded back when I was a kid and how the thunder and the lightning and the storm was scary to me. And then I looked at the Scripture about James and John, the sons of thunder, and was reminded their reputation was that of men with anger out of control. It was compared to a storm. You say, look, Brother Owens, at the devastation that Hurricane Matthew brought all up and down the coast. Oh, that's nothing compared to the devastation that comes because man can't control his temper. Cain killed Abel, the first murder, because he couldn't control or wouldn't control his temper. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First question is, are you saved? And if you're not, you'll probably never get that temper under control until you get born again. Is there anybody here that if you died today, you say, I'm not saved. Pray for me. I need to be born again. Pray for me, Pastor. I'm not saved. If you need to be saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved today. Let me say then to those of you that are born again, I think, remember, the emotion of anger was given to you by God, but not for you to use the way you want, but for you to use the way God would choose. Anger, there's a moment when it can be under control and used properly. But we're not talking about that portion of anger today. We're talking about the part that's out of control, that's damaging, that's hurting. We say things, we do things, we act in ways that we shouldn't. Who here today would say, Pastor, I think God has given me something today, and I needed it. I needed it. I believe God has spoken to my heart, and He's going to help me with this sermon. Would you let God see your hand? Lots of hands, sure. Lots of hands, and let's work on it. If you need a moment at the altar, you come, and you let God help you. Remember, the sandbag sin, crushing, heavy, almost all-consuming in all relationships. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. You stand to your feet, if you will. Everyone standing, if you need to come, you come. I think there's somebody here that it wouldn't hurt you to come to the altar and say, Lord, just help me. Help me with my temper. I get wound up with my kids. I get wound up with my husband. I get wound up with my wife. There are young people. Boy, the way you treat your mom and dad is sad. And you've got a temper problem. You need to get it cared for. Hey, if you have friends that are constantly losing it, you either need to separate from them until they get it together, or maybe do away with the friendship altogether. Young people, those of you that are at that age where you're getting more serious about finding a future mate, I'm going to tell you, you want to watch that mate long enough to see how bad their temper is. Because the Bible says, make no friendship with an angry man. And God has talked about being deep, deep friends with somebody that won't control their temper. So then I say to the married people, you say, oh my spouse has a very, very harsh temper. What do I do? Well, you got to learn how to, You learn how to minimize it. Don't do the things that would make it worse. Keep yourself in church. Make sure you don't become that. Don't you become that. One more time through the song, we'll be on our way. There are a couple of you, and I don't know who you are. I just know that God would have me say this. There are a couple of you, you have the problem, but you won't admit to the problem. You'll leave here falling farther and farther behind emotionally and what you ought to be as a Christian and in life. And if you need help with this, I'd be glad to help you. I can show you some things that I've learned. I will not humiliate you. You come, if you want help, you say, I need some help on that one, preacher. We'll figure out a way to get some scripture in your heart and in your mind, give you some practical things that will help you.